19 November. Dear Editor, please consider the enclosed poems for publication. They are from my manuscript, X Equals Pawn Capture, a manuscript about how chess may be a metaphor, and in this case, the dry and silent intellectual play of the board acts as the absence of my grandfather's desire. If my grandmother gets to have a metaphor, I choose the calendar that hung against the cellar door and also her regarding it, humming a blurry song about the path such sorrow took. During the winter of dried grains and only a few berries, she would share with me her saints, who were splayed across the calendar in fabulous stories, gleaming tresses under torture and burning. Angela of Foligno stood on clouds as she approached the Lord, having endured whatever was her torment, and was a source of comfort for all who suffer from temptation. Along with her was Mary of Egypt, whose mortal end was like a child's bedtime story, a peaceful lion to bury her because she'd mended her ways. Whatever she had done to bring the lion to this dry desert and out of its slick jungle where I pictured it sleeping, I could not tell. I imagine the lion had a long walk home with its regal tail and its marvelous mane. Mary of Egypt might have danced with men she didn't know well, or kissed, as I have, football players from her high school without any real desire, because how embarrassing to have to say no. Although I wouldn't mention this to my grandparents, I understood such adolescent confusion, and sometimes when I am rich with regret, I look out the windows for a beige, lumbering body or massive paw prints. Thank you for your consideration and for reading. I've enclosed a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I look forward to hearing from you. Sincerely, Amy Newman. 20th December. Dear Editor, please consider the enclosed poems for publication. They are from my manuscript, X Equals Pawn Capture, an exploration of how attentive I was versus how wily my grandparents were in raising a tainted child. But if I tell you that, I will not have rendered, which my workshop class says is something I must do. When I think of the word render, I'm reminded of how we get fat from our animals and boil it for seasoning, to take from their bodies the moist or succulent essence of them in life and transfer it, as one uses a metaphor, onto the pan or the onion or the bread. And when the bread of the flesh is rendered unto me on Sundays as a favor to my grandparents, I try not to think of St. Teresa, who saw the host only in the snapshots and leftovers he provided, and how irritated she must have been with her inability to get a clear picture and maintain the dimensional Lord in her apprehension of him, because how stubborn of him to make it difficult for her, and as a result she has to try in her own words to describe the experience, and you know how frustrating that can be. How different the world would be if she'd had a Sony Ericsson Z500A with its camera and 4x zoom to capture those minutes he offered her in the form of his pale wrist or his muscled thigh or his bony shoulder, as well as, I'm imagining, his heart burning in piety. And she could have processed those snaps she'd gotten, extracted the impurities from them, and given them back to us, to furnish and provide, to restore us, surrendered them so we could see. And these are all versions of render, which I'm having so much trouble with, because such details as flesh and belief are tough to arrange as metaphor. Thank you for your consideration and for reading. I've enclosed a self-addressed stamped envelope and look forward to hearing from you. Sincerely, Amy Newman. 10 January. Dear Editor, please consider the enclosed poems for publication. They are from my manuscript, X Equals Pawn Capture, a poetic exploration of my grandfather's way of avoiding my grandmother's outlook on life. My workshop teacher said, good advice for a young writer is write what you know. But which is best to write about, since I know them both? 1. The tiny, burbling sound tightening in my throat when I suppress the struggle to move my mouth away from the boy who is kissing me. Or 2. What appears over his shoulder when I unclench my eyes then? The flashes and flecks in the face of St. Teresa against a backdrop of pretty lace, and Saint Dorothea wearing her headdress of roses and pears, nodding and calm, their arms practically porcelain, and their stubborn halos like platters as they appear on the holy cards, because they existed before artists understood how to render perspective. What I read in the handbooks is I should concentrate on the real, and I know that a student will ask if my poem diverges into a song about the basket of apples and roses from her bridegroom's garden laid at the feet of her tormentors, why I don't write about what is real. But the visions I see in my shivering clenches, when I would rather not do what the boy says I should, seem as vivid as his chin jutting into my shoulder as he tries the zipper on my skirt. All that mortal wriggling pales next to the vision of Saint Marie Guillard, when she saw all her faults and human frailties in a sea of terrific blood. What if what I see is as real? This I would have to say to the class. What if? Nobody likes what if. Thank you for your consideration and for reading. I have enclosed a self-addressed stamped envelope and look forward to hearing from you. Sincerely, Amy Newman.